In 1950, the only major playhouse in the nation's capital had closed to avoid having to desegregate. Arena Stage was founded in that atmosphere and made inclusion part of its mandate. Today, part two of NPR's American Stages series about the regional theater movement. Bob Mondello reports that in its most recent production, Arena Stage is tackling a different sort of discrimination, the marginalizing of women.
Playwright Sophie Treadwell is known today, if she is known at all, as the author of Machinale, an expressionist tragedy that back in 1928 marked the Broadway debut of a then-unknown Clark Gable. But Washington's Arena Stage unearthed a less familiar play by Treadwell, Intimations for Saxophone. Moody, episodic, and infused with then-trendy talk of a fad called psychology, Intimations for Saxophone has sat unproduced in the Library of Congress since Treadwell wrote it in 1933, the story of a sheltered young woman in the 1920s who feels trapped by her marriage.
You think our life is empty?
Dull, then?
What's dull about it?
Everything! The things we do, the things we say, the people we know, it's like an endless theme for saxophone.
I think our life is
Lily's marriage isn't all that makes her feel trapped. Society's expectations in the 1920s were nearly as constricting for women as those tight-waisted corsets they had recently abandoned. And society's expectations were reflected in the theater. There were almost no women directors, no women theater owners, no women impresarios. So who in a position of authority was this play supposed to connect with?
One of the reasons it wasn't done is that it has a feminist sensibility.
Anne Bogart, director of the world premiere of Intimations for Saxophone at Arena Stage.
There is a kind of subversiveness in every moment, that every moment shows its opposite. Men can't stand that. Why do you understand someone's state when you understand the oppositions that they're balancing between them? It is the expression of a woman who was living in those years and doing her own balancing act.
An expression that finds a natural home at Arena. For all but seven of its 54 years, this theater has been run by women, for the first 40 of those years by founding artistic director Zelda Fitchhandler, who was, along with Houston's Nina Vance and Dallas's Margot Jones, one of the original pioneers of the regional theater movement, and who says that though she and those other pioneers came along decades after Sophie Treadwell, as women they face the same almost all-male theater world.
Who was going to ever hire us as a director in the 50s, and we wanted to be directors. I can remember when Broadway started noticing us and would come down to see possible hits. They would come into my office, because I was the one that served the coffee and washed the dishes, and they would say, well, who runs this place? And I said, well, my name is on the program. I don't know. You know, I think I do. They said, no, but I mean, really, make the hard decisions, like what plays you're going to do and how much money you're going to spend. And I said, well, I think I do.
Arena's current artistic director, Molly Smith, says that until she started her own company in Alaska 25 years ago, she too had a terrible time getting directing jobs, which has led her to try to correct the balance now that she's in charge.
In a field where normally in the theater you'll see one or two women in a season directing, at Arena it's half or two-thirds that are women that come in to direct.
Smith also accents women playwrights when she can, and thanks to the resident theater movement, she has such Pulitzer Prize winners as Beth Hanley, Wendy Wasserstein, and Susan Laurie Parks to choose from. Nationally, only about one in five of the plays presented at regional stages are authored by women, but that's still a huge improvement over Sophie Treadwell's day, when women, if they worked in the theater at all, were expected to be decorative and essentially silent.
I'd like to have something happen to me once that wasn't nice.
Like what?
Something to take me by the back of my neck and rub my nose in the dirt.
Lily! Lily!
We need to go back a little bit before the pass-off of the flowers. And Chris, that timing was perfect, what you did just then. So,
because Bogart tours with her own troupe, the City Company, when she's not mounting plays as a director for hire, she's witnessed firsthand how women have found acceptance in regional theater's upper ranks.
Look around the country now and you see women running institutions and doing it very well. But this is new. Zelda was really an anomaly of her time. Now you look around and you see that communities have actually realized that women tend to nurture communities and organizations I would say, better than men do.
You hear a lot about nurturing at resident theaters, both from women and from the men, who still seriously outnumber them, nurturing audiences and acting companies and playwrights, whatever their gender, and building a home for the arts. Arena's 45-year-old home, an urban complex near the Potomac River waterfront, is about to undergo a $100 million renovation. When Smith talks about the new flexible theater space she'll gain in that renovation, nurturing is clearly much on her mind.
It's called a cradle, because a cradle is a romper room for artists. It's about the research and development of new work and the creation of new work. And it's a smaller space, so it has a potential to be able to incubate.
Meanwhile, Arena is birthing Treadwell's little orphan of a play, Intimations for Saxophone, in a much larger space, more than 600 seats, for a show the commercial theater never gave a chance. Some of those seats went empty when critics were less than enthusiastic, but that, says Zelda Fitchandler, is really the point.
The art is the baby, right? I mean, the art is what the institution is there for. To protect, encourage, discipline if necessary, appreciate, take care of its moods, nurture it when it flops, and cheer when it succeeds.
I think I'd like to have a child.
What?
Why not?
Right now?
It would be something.
What do you mean?
Don't talk about it, just...
What do you mean, something?
No, nothing.
Lily's journey of discovery in Intimations for Saxophone is ultimately successful. She overcomes social expectations and her own fears, a story she has in common with the women who've brought her to life, says Anne Bogart.
I think it's a direct lineage. I mean, you think of Sophie Treadwell as a woman in the American theater who struggled and was, for the most part, not produced. And then you think of Zelda, who received more opposition than encouragement. Molly's struggle is a daily one, to not only ensure the health of the theater, but to think about its future and the vision of where the theater's going. That is a constant struggle. I do think it is a bigger struggle for women than men, because men, for some reason, are given more slack to make mistakes, to be hubristic. Women aren't tolerated in that way.
But they're certainly more tolerated in that way than in Sophie Treadwell's time. She wasn't very lucky with the rest of her playwriting career, but she did publish a novel before retiring to Tucson, Arizona in 1965, where she lived not far from the site of the resident stage we'll be visiting next week, Borderlands Theater, where a play by Lisa Loomer, one of the most produced playwrights in the nation, has just finished a successful run, and where a play by two women journalists will open later this month. I'm Bob Mandela.
Every Thursday, we visit a different regional theater in our series, American Stages. To learn more about the regional theater movement or to catch up with pieces you may have missed, visit our website, www.npr.org.